Hi guys, welcome back to the Balanced and Empowered Fitness Podcast. Hannah Polly here. Hope you guys are all having a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm excited for this episode. Let's dig in, okay? Today I want to talk about something that a lot of women are afraid of. They are afraid to have too much of this. They might not know the benefits of this. So I am here to shed light on the magic of eating an adequate amount of protein. Okay, so we're going to go over why it's beneficial and the types of sources that you can implement to get more protein in. Just tons of info here that's going to be really, really helpful for you to literally start implementing tomorrow. Okay, so let's dig in. Let's first start off why protein is beneficial. And every single person can benefit from eating adequate amount of protein. I promise you, I mean, unless you have some type of, I will say just to start, this info is for like the general population. Now, there are people who might have like kidney disease or like liver disease or even like a maybe a severe gastrointestinal disease where like maybe they have like malabsorption of protein where they're not able to consume the, typical amount that I'm going to recommend today. So those are like the kind of exclusions area where I've actually had clients that have like kidney or liver disease. And like, we've just had to keep their protein a little bit lower than I typically would like an average person. So like excluding that, this is for those of you who don't experience any of those things. And for, like I said, the general health of the population. So let's dig in. Okay. So protein, the benefits. Oh, there's no losses here. Okay. So first off, the benefit of protein is it's going to help you maintain your muscle mass, which is important. When I say muscle mass, I don't want you to think, I don't want the image of like a bodybuilder on stage all tanned up and juiced out coming to your mind. Okay. I want you to think of like a fit, healthy woman being able to pick up her kid and walk across the street without any issues, or an elderly woman being able to get out of a chair on her own, or being able to like hold your own when you're moving, helping your friend move. Not only getting stronger in the gym, getting stronger in the gym is so fun and empowering, but I'm talking about like just day-to-day function, okay? So it's really important that we maintain our muscle mass as we age and as we are, if you're like in a weight loss phase, if you're trying to lose weight, eating an adequate amount of protein is going to help you maintain your muscle mass while you lose fat, while you lose inches. Okay. And that's extremely important, like I just mentioned. Plus, like you're going to look better. A physique that has muscle, when you're losing inches, it's going to look so much better versus if you're like, I always like to say, there's a difference between losing weight and losing body fat. We want to lose body fat, okay? We want to hold on to that muscle mass as like natural females. And I don't want you guys to ever worry about, as a natural female, we're never going to get as big as like a male bodybuilder, okay? Women have to do a lot of steroids and overconsume calories for a very prolonged period of time to get to that point. Like as a natural female, which I'm sure most of you are listening to this, that's not going to happen. Okay. And even if someone was on steroids and she's not eating enough, she's never going to get that big. Okay. So anyway, this let's just clear that up. Because sometimes women get nervous when I say muscle mass, and I don't want you to think of like bodybuilder muscle mass. So not that there's anything wrong with that. Anyway, let's go move forward. So another benefit here, this is so beneficial too, is appetite control, helping create more satiety in your day. So if you eat an adequate amount of protein throughout the day, you're going to feel more sustained appetite-wise. You're going to feel more full. And this is beneficial because this is going to help avoid overeating. And this is especially beneficial in like a dieting phase if you're trying to lose weight, or like in a maintenance phase if you're just trying to maintain your weight and not gain weight. Eating an adequate amount of protein is going to help that. Like I said, if you eat more protein, you're going to feel more satisfied. You're going to be less likely to overeat. Let me give you an example of this. Okay. So let's say your day looks like this. Let's say you wake up, you eat like a bowl of cereal, and then maybe at lunch you get like a bag of chips out of the vending machine. Maybe you go to your boss's office, you eat a few like Skittles out of the candy jar. This is just a general example. Okay. Now, for most, by the time you're driving home or when you get home, if your day looks like that, you are going to be starving. You're going to be starving. You're going to stop somewhere and over order a bunch of food that you're not going to feel good after you eat, because it's going to like just make you feel not good. Or you're going to get home and you're going to ravish the kitchen. And typically, when we're that hungry, we're not going to make the best choices, right? And we're most likely, even though we barely ate throughout the day, we're probably going to overeat because of like the binge eating or just over consuming at night in general because of that. Okay. There's no like balance there. Now, on the reverse side of things, let's say you wake up in the morning and you eat two whole eggs, three egg whites, two pieces of toast with peanut butter. And then at lunch, you eat 4 ounces of chicken breast with some spinach and like 4 ounces of a sweet potato. You see the difference here? You're going to be so much more satisfied eating higher protein meals. And of course, like more balanced meals, of course, but we're talking protein here. You're going to feel a lot more satisfied. Okay. Let's say that even the amount of cereal and the chips and the candy that you ate was the same amount of calories as the breakfast and lunch that you ate on the other side of things with higher protein. You're going to feel way less hungry with the higher protein day, even if the calories are the same, because the way that the body digests protein, it's a little bit slower of a process versus when like we digest carbs or fats. So it's a little bit different of a process where it's going to tide you over longer, which is great. So amazing with appetite control helps, like I said, avoid cravings. It can help reduce cravings because again, you're not as hungry, and it can help reduce the chances of overeating, which of course we don't want to overeat if we're trying to lose weight or, you know, trying to maintain our weight, because if we overeat in calories, we're going to gain weight. So another beautiful thing about protein is, like I said, the way the body digests protein is a little different than carbs and fats, okay, which are all your macronutrients, protein, carbs, and fats. But the body actually burns about 30% more calories digesting protein than it does carbs or fats. Okay. And I feel like a lot of people don't, I like, maybe you do know. I don't know. Honestly, growing up, I never knew this, but a lot of times people think that the only way to burn calories is just by exercising. Sorry. By exercising. I have a pen in my hand and I'm like, I always talk a lot with my hands when I do a podcast. I just threw my pen at you. Sorry about that. But a lot of times, like I said, people think that the only way to burn calories is by like exercise, right? Cardio, working out. And yes, those are ways to burn calories, but like our body burns calories at rest, okay? Like our body's burning calories as it's digesting food. Our body's burning calories as we're like swallowing, okay? So it's a win-win here. Your body burns more calories digesting protein. So there's a thermogenic effect of just by eating protein. So it's really like a win-win here, because like you're eating, if you eat more protein, you're gonna have less cravings, you're gonna feel less hungry, and you're actually gonna, your body's gonna burn more calories digesting it. So like it's a win-win, okay? And it's really, really important for us to eat enough of that and eat it adequately and like space it out throughout the day, which we'll go over this later in this podcast as well, to ensure that we're getting the most out of it. Because like if you think about it and you look at foods, carbs are in everything. Okay. It's easy to hit enough carbs. It's really easy to overeat in carbs and fats, right? But it's really hard to overeat in protein. Like most people really, I would say like 95% of clients, like protein's always the hardest thing that they have with getting in at first. Cause like it's not always the most like fun thing. And like we, again, because of the satiety of it, like we can't eat a ton of it. Like you're more likely going to overeat in something like pretzels than you are a big piece of like chicken breast, right? Versus like a tub of chicken or like a tub of pretzels, you're most likely going to overeat in the tub of pretzels. So that's my point here. Okay, so like I said, endless benefits here. Amazing. And like I said, it's just important to maintain that muscle mass, like where you're going to look better, you're going to feel better, you're going to be stronger going into like your older years, and just be stronger like now, whatever part of life you're in. So I know we talked about already about, you know, there are certain cases where protein's not able to be as high as like I would typically recommend. We already went over that. So let's talk about protein sources, okay? Things that you can implement in your meals that can help get your protein intake up. Now, I see this all the time where a lot of times people will think that like almonds or peanuts or peanut butter is a protein source. And technically it's not, okay? So the way to determine a protein source is if you look at a nutrition label and you look at the fats, the carbs, and the protein needs to be higher than the fat and carbs. Okay, so let's do peanut butter for an example. People say that peanut butter is protein, and it's not, because if you look at a a nutrition label of peanut butter, 2 tablespoons, okay? The fat intake is like 16 grams. The carbs is like 7 or 8 grams, and the protein's like 7 or 8. Okay. So the fat intake actually like doubles the amount of protein per serving. So that would technically be a fat source because fat is the highest. Okay. Now, a protein source, like I said, is would be things like lean meats. So things like chicken breasts, chicken tenderloins, ground turkey, turkey breasts, egg whites, lean ground beef is always a good one. Deli meats, although like deli meats aren't like always the best for our overall health just because of like the actual ingredients, but macro wise they're great. So things like turkey, ham, stuff like that. Protein powders are amazing. Now, a protein powder is obviously an ultra processed food. So, you know, if you listen to my podcast, you know, I try to preach like more whole foods, right? Things that are from the earth. So lean meats are going to be great. You know, seafood is going to be great. Like salmon. Salmon's like a fatty fish, as I like to say, but that's not bad fat. You know, it's full of rich of omega-3s and healthy fats, which are amazing for us. So like salmon's great, mahi-mahi, shrimp, tilapia. There's some studies on tilapia. Any type of seafood, though, I know I've talked about this before on a podcast. Just make sure you don't ever buy farm raised. Make sure it's wild caught. It's going to be a lot better, quality wise. The macros will be the same, but quality wise, you always want to do wild caught 100% of the time. Some dairy options here are cottage cheese. I always say, again, doing like a low fat cottage cheese is always really beneficial. You can get a lot of protein. In one serving, there's only, in just like a half cup of cottage cheese, there's 15 grams of protein. Greek yogurt, Oikos Pro Greek yogurt is my absolute favorite. You can do the flavored ones. I've been on this kick of doing the plain Greek yogurt, but like I'm kind of like a savage and I've been eating it plain. I don't recommend that. It doesn't taste good. You could always mix it with your protein powder. But I'd say in general, get the flavored Oikos Pro Greek yogurts. I just get the plain because like the ingredients are a little bit better. There's no like sweeteners, artificial sweeteners or anything in them. String cheese is always like a really good dairy protein. I always say get like a light string cheese to where again the protein's going to be higher than the fat intake then. So doing like any type of light string cheese is amazing. So all of those protein sources are things that again the protein is higher per serving than the carbs or fat in them. So that makes them protein sources. So try and include them throughout your day. You know, like I said earlier, eggs are great in the morning. It's a great protein source. I always say like eggs or like a protein shake. Something a lot of my clients like to do is if you drink hot coffee, what you can do is put a scoop, like if you make your coffee and then put a scoop of protein powder, specifically chocolate, into your coffee and mix it. It tastes like hot chocolate, and it's a really easy way to get your day started with 20 to 30 grams of protein. Even though it's from a processed source, it's still better than not getting any protein at all. So yeah, like I said, eggs, even like things which we'll go over this as well, but like turkey bacon, although it's like a processed meat, it's still like gonna get you're still gonna get some protein in there. And then for like lunch and dinners, you can do lean meats. You know, you can do all the lean meats I just talked about. You can even do like Greek yogurts for snacks. Cottage cheese is like a snack. So it's really easy to get protein sourcing. You just have to find what you like. And these are like more wholesome sources. We're gonna go over like easy, like more processed options as well, because like, you know, just to be real, none of us are, it's gonna be impossible to say, oh, only eat whole foods 100% of the time, right? Like I get it. Like that's not realistic. So we're gonna go over those as well. But let's go over plant-based protein sources for those of you listening who are maybe vegetarian or vegan. So again, if you're vegetarian, you can still do the dairy sources. Like I said, the cottage cheese, Greek yogurt, string cheese. But if you are vegan, then of course, like plant-based is your only option, right? So things like tofu, excuse me while I pronounce it, edamame. Which is just like the young soybeans, so good. Plant-based protein shakes, you can always do that as well. Again, still a processed food, but they've come a long way. There are some that taste absolutely horrible, and there are some that taste really, really good. I had a client get me a gift for our 1 year coaching anniversary, and she got me this plant-based, and the ingredients were amazing. There's only like 6 ingredients, and it tasted so good. And for some reason, thought of it's coming to a blank, but it begins with a T. I think it's like Truvani. Truvani brand is amazing. It tastes so good. She got me the peanut butter one, and oh my God, it was so good. I was like shocked. Anyway, so there's plant-based shakes as well. Beans, chickpeas. Now, I will say plant-based protein sources are a little bit different because, like, usually the carb source is going to be higher or like the same. So even though they're technically like protein source for vegans or for people who can't eat meats or don't want to eat meats, these are still like options that people who do only plant-based can get to get their protein intake in. Okay. So like I said, tofu, edamame, plant-based shakes, beans, chickpeas, lentils, stuff like that. Which are like whole plant foods, which are actually really, really good for you and loaded with fiber. So those are always really good to add in. Even if you're not like vegetarian or vegan, I always like to recommend like adding in some type of like legume because it's just great. They're so good for you. They have anti-inflammatory properties and they're loaded with fiber, and enough people aren't getting enough fiber either, which that could be a whole other topic. So like I said, those are just like some protein sources that you can implement and kind of when you can implement them. So let's talk about some easy protein snacks. Okay, so these are going to be more processed foods, things that like I don't recommend filling all of your macronutrients with, all of your daily intake with, but still things it's like easy to incorporate, easy for grab and go. Okay, so Kodiak protein like pancakes and waffles are great, especially the ones like the Kodiak protein waffles are amazing because you can literally just take them out and pop them in the toaster. You can get them, buy them in the frozen section, pop them in the toaster, boom. It's like 14 grams of protein per serving. And if you get the plain ones, like it's pretty like good macros. So those are really easy. Beef or turkey jerky is a really, really good option. Again, it's gonna be a little bit higher in sodium there. The ingredients aren't always the best. Of course, it's gonna be like a processed food. It's not gonna be as healthy as like, lean ground beef, but still, it's still an easy grab-and-go option. So jerky, you can even find like lower sodium ones. String cheese, like I talked about earlier, always trying to do like a light string cheese. That can also help reduce like saturated fats if you do like light or low fat dairy options. Oikos Greek yogurts or any Greek yogurt is great. Oikos is just my favorite. protein shakes, you can do protein powder or like the pre-made shakes. I will say that the Fairlife Core protein shakes are really good. Make sure you get the one if it's 26 grams. Make sure that you get the low sugar one. It's only like 5 grams of sugar versus there's some that have like 30 grams of sugar. It's way too much. But they taste like chocolate milk. They're insanely good. So those are easy. One that I like is like protein granola. So Nature's Valley has protein granola, and a lot of you might recognize it. It's the green bag. You're probably familiar with their granola bars, but it's protein granola. So what I like to tell clients to do for easy high protein snacks is doing like a little Greek yogurt protein granola parfait. So you can do like a serving of the protein granola. You can mix it with like a Greek yogurt. You can put some fruit in there. I mean, you're gonna get like close to 30 grams of protein just from that. And it tastes really good. So I know I mentioned this earlier, but deli meat. So again, deli meat is never something that I try to recommend like a lot, but it can come in handy. A lot of my clients like to do turkey roll-ups. So what that is like pretty much I just tell them to like get some low-fat cream cheese and put it in like a slice of turkey and roll it up. It's like a salami roll, but less fat. So that's a really good option. Quest products are really, really good. I personally love, I'm like, oh, I'm such a chip girl. I love chips. Like, I can say no to candy the rest of my life, but when it comes to chips, I'm like, oh, I love them. So Quest chips come in clutch for me when I'm having chippy cravings. It's like in one bag, it's like 20 grams, 18 to 20 grams of protein, very low fat, very low carbs. Yes, they're gonna have different texture than normal chips because they are a protein chip, but if you get the tortilla ones, they're really good. You can dip them in some salsa, some guacamole, so good. They also have like protein crackers, they have protein bars, protein Reese cups. So if you look up Quest products, they have a lot of alternatives. I personally think they taste really good. Just be careful. A lot of their bars and stuff are loaded with fiber. So like you don't want to overdo it on the bars because that can upset your stomach. And then protein bars. Protein bars aren't something again that I always recommend a lot, but it's a really nice, easy, like to-go option. I really like Think Thin 20. The 20 gram protein bars. I love the lemon ones. So yummy. I know a lot of clients like Built Bars and they like the, It's like barbells protein bars. I know a lot of clients like those. I don't eat protein bars anymore, so I haven't tried the barbells one, but a lot of people love those. So those are just some examples. But yeah, I mean that was pretty much what I wanted to go over today. I also want to go over just like the recommended amount of protein. Now it's going to be a little bit different for each person, okay? So like a really good general rule of thumb is 1 gram per pound of body weight. Now that's not going to work for everyone, okay? Some people are going to need a little bit less than that. So let me give you guys an example. I think I've talked about this on a previous episode, but if someone needs to lose weight and they come to me and let's say they're like 225, 225 pounds. I'm not gonna, and they're, and let's say, because I always have clients like track their food for a few days before I give them a nutrition plan, just so I can see where they're currently averaging. So if this person's only averaging, 50 to 60 grams of protein on a good day, I'm not just gonna be like, oh, okay, well, you weigh 225 pounds, so here's, you need to eat 225 grams of protein. No. A really good rule of thumb is like, is maybe doing the protein as like what their goal weight is, as long as it works with their calories. So let's say this person is 225, their goal weight is like, oh, I want to be 160. Even then I wouldn't start them at 160, but that could be like a good goal to get to. But it just, like I said, it just depends on the person. So if you can get to a place, if you're like 0.7 to 1 gram per pound of body weight for general. Now I do have some clients that eat more. I myself eat more. For example, I weigh about 154. My weight kind of fluctuates. I don't weigh myself consistently, but I eat like 175 to 180 grams of protein daily. But I've been doing this for a while. Okay. I didn't start by eating that much. And everyone's a little bit different on what they need. But like I said, it just really depends on the person. And you got to like work your way up to that. For most, like I said, if someone comes to me and they're only eating 40 or 50 grams, I'm not going to start them right away on like 150 grams of protein, right? I'm going to bump them up a little bit, like, okay, maybe let's start with like 70 or 90 grams a day and kind of work our way up to that, either that goal weight amount of protein. But what, it just kind of depends on how they're progressing and how their digestion's feeling. So it's just like a general rule of thumb. Again, for most that don't have any type of like kidney or liver disease or severe gastrointestinal disease where they can't, like, they're not absorbing protein. This is just for like in general. You just want to work your way up to that because it could definitely throw off digestion if you try to like engulf too much like protein when your body's not used to it at once. So I always like to slowly work my way up with clients to allow their body to adapt and adjust. And just realistically, it's like if that person's, weighs 225 pounds and they're used to eating 40 to 55 grams of protein, like that's going to be so hard for them to try to just like engulf 225 grams of protein a day. Like most people are not going to be able to do that. They're going to feel like crap. They're going to be bloated. No, like we don't want to do that. So I don't like using that general rule of thumb of like 1 gram per pound, but like I said, either shoot for that if it works for you. If like you're someone who doesn't have a lot of weight to lose at first, or like shoot to like work your way up to like what your goal weight is, which is a really good rule of thumb. But I hope this sheds some light here. Again, I wanted to go over this because I've myself heard so many crazy things about protein. So my clients, people tell my clients like, oh my gosh, you're eating too much protein. You're not going to lose weight eating so much protein. Please, if someone says this to you, please don't listen to them because the amount of protein that's quote unquote too much, most people aren't going to be able to eat that much anyway. Okay. And if someone is gaining weight, it's not because they're eating too much protein. It's probably because they're eating, it's because they're eating an overconsumption of calories overall. And it's most likely from overconsuming carbs and fats because those are a lot easier to overconsume versus protein. And then a lot of times people might get worried that, oh, sometimes people correlate eating protein and drinking protein shakes. They correlate it with like these bodybuilders and they think, well, if I eat protein like that, like I'm gonna get big and bulky, and that is not the case, I promise. I know we talked about that earlier, so I wanted to get this episode out there just to kind of shed some light on protein and like how important it is, and like it's something that we really need to work at incorporating more of because a lot of people aren't getting enough of it. Over the years of coaching, when I have clients come to me and they're logging what they eat, like a lot, I would say 90% of people aren't eating enough at first. And it's just so important that I want all of us to be eating enough protein adequately and to feel amazing, not only in the gym and in workouts and to get that toned look that most of us strive for, but also, like I said, just to like stay strong and help maintain muscle mass through like our day, like just like daily function, and like, as we age, maintaining that muscle mass by eating enough protein and of course strength training. So I wanted to share. I hope this was helpful, guys. As always, I appreciate you guys tuning in. I hope this was helpful. Please share on your story and tag me, or share with someone who you feel like could really benefit from this episode. Also, if you're listening on Spotify, if you can leave me a 5-star rating, that would make my heart so happy. Every rating makes such a difference. If you're on Apple, if you could leave me a 5-star rating and leave me an actual review, oh my gosh, it seriously makes my day, and it's so helpful for me. So I like really appreciate it. And as always, you guys know my socials are below. If you have any questions on this or any feedback, I'm always open to that. My inbox is always open. And I really appreciate those of you who are listening and who are supporting this podcast. And again, I'm glad that it's helpful and insightful. So as always, love you guys, and I'll see you guys next episode.